A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man who he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like gods who know what is good and what is evil." The woman saw the tree that was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then both of them had their eyes opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
Have mercy on me, O God. In your goodness, in the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin, cleanse me.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is before me always. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
Give me back the joy of your salvation and a willing spirit sustain in me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death. And thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. For up to the time of the law, sin was in the world, though sin is not accounted when there is no law. But death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin, after the pattern of the trespass of Adam, who is the type of the one who was to come. But the gift is not like the transgression. For if the transgression of the one, the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? And for the gift is not like the result of the one who sinned, for after one sin, there was the judgment that brought condemnation. But the gift, after many transgressions, brought acquittal. For if by the transgression of the one death came to reign through that one, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of justification come to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ? In conclusion, just as though one transgression, condemnation came upon all, so through the one righteous act, acquittal and life came to all. For just as though the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you, if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. Traditionally, every first Sunday of the season of Lent presents us with Jesus either being led or driven, depending on which gospel we were listening to, be it in this year's gospel is Matthew for the cycle A readings, but it begins with him being led or driven into the desert or the wilderness to be tempted, to be tested after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. And this is meant to impress upon us how Jesus has come among us as one who has assumed a human nature and has subjected himself to everything that you and I go through, accepting of sin, so that he could take it upon himself. In every word Jesus utters, every deed he performs, and of course the greatest deed of all, the laying down of his life on the cross, so that in his death, death in itself would be destroyed and life restored, eternal life restored for all who come to believe in him. Now, in order for us to truly appreciate and understand the significance of what is being laid out for us, especially in Matthew's gospel, remember Matthew, his audience is a community of Christians who were primarily of the Jewish descent and origin who have come to believe in Jesus. So Matthew shows how Jesus has fulfilled everything that has been laid out before. So we ask ourselves, is this the first time that someone, after being baptized, coming out of water, was led into a wilderness or desert experience? Because this is what we are seeing today. This scene of Jesus being led into the desert follows right on the heels of him being baptized in the Jordan River. We remember Israel, after being led from the place of slavery in Egypt, they would pass through, the people of God would pass through the Red Sea, a prefiguration of the sacrament of baptism. And after going through those waters and entering into the desert of Sinai, they would be there, not so much for 40 days, but for 40 years. And they themselves would experience testings. And very much in the same way that they were tested, we see how Jesus was tested. Remember, they grumbled about being hungry. They were starving. And so they cried out and complained and complained, and God rained down manna from the heavens. But Jesus, for his part, remembers the words of the book of Deuteronomy and says that man does not live by bread alone, but upon every word. So inasmuch as his flesh was pining for some type of nourishment, Jesus, up to this time, for these 40 days and 40 nights, has been feasting on the Spirit that he was anointed with in the waters of the Jordan. The second thing we find out is, as Jesus is in this time and experiencing this testing, the next temptation is to do what? To put God to the test. Is he really, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it says, and he quotes, since Satan, who has taken the form, he has seen that Jesus is going to refer to the scripture. That's what Jesus uses, right? He unsheathes the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and refutes the devil and his deception. So now the devil says, well, I will employ the same thing. Let's see how he goes here. So he presents him with Psalm 91, which is most ironic because it's Psalm 91 that the rabbis would employ when they would go about expelling the demons that people would be afflicted by. So they would be quoting from that particular passage. So it's interesting that the devil would use that particular psalm, that particular word of scripture, but he stops right short of what comes next, which would speak of him crushing the head of the serpent and so forth and so on. But it stops right there. But it's sufficient for him to try and lure Jesus into another trap. But Jesus again points it out, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. We see again, looking back on our ancestors as they were sojourning through the wilderness, they continue to put God to the test. If God is truly among us and with us, then let him provide us. We want meat. They wanted meat. They wanted water. They wanted all of these things. Pressing God to try and get God to do what they wanted. And of course, it went the way it went. And in the final temptation, he leads him to the top of a mountain so that he could have a panoramic view of all of the kingdoms of the world. All of these I handed over to me. They are mine to give to whomever. I offer them to you, but take and bow down and worship me. So at this point, the devil isn't playing. He's pulled off all of his masquerade, and he's presenting himself just as he is. Now you worship me, and all of this is yours. And then Jesus, not playing games either way either, he says, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God you shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." The devil left, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Every single one of the sins the human family falls into emanate from one of these three temptations. Temptations to the pleasures of the flesh, if it's comfort in food or entertainment, whatever. Temptation to power, or temptation to being one's own, having the control and being everything. All of them, pride of life, all three are the sources of every sin we can commit in thought, word, or deed. And yet, it's most important for us to realize what is truly the devil's attempt. Every time he tempts Jesus, what is the point of attack? If you are the Son of God, he attacks the filial relationship Jesus has with the Father, his family, his familial relationship with Father and Son, Son and Father. We see how when the serpent, when the devil took on the form of a serpent and approached Eve, what did he attempt to do and what did he do? He attempted to drive a wedge between her and her Father, God. Did God really tell you this? Is this really what? Again, sowing that seed of doubt, of trusting in the Word of God, Jesus, the new Adam, commits himself to the way that his Father has laid out for him. He does not go the way that he's being offered, a way that would be obtaining this type of, to obtain the glory or the leadership and all this of the world, apart from the road of suffering, humiliation, obedience to the one who sent him. This was what he was being tempted to, and this is what he refused. And by the time it was all said and done, he was successful because he remained steadfast in his identity, in his desire to do the will of his Father. And so the angels come and minister to him, and no doubt, probably, as they did for Elijah, who was on the mountain for 40 days, they probably, no doubt, fed him with the food of the angels so that he could be restored to go forward in the work that he has. But we notice, too, that Jesus embraced every temptation. He realized everything that the Father sent him to do in the context of his human nature. He did not use his divine power to sidestep or to gain any advantage. He allowed himself to be subjected to the same things you and I deal with. And we are to pay attention to this. The gospel is not showing us this so as to say this is Jesus' personal victory. No, this is a victory. He's showing us a victory for the whole of the people of God. Because just as Jesus went as he went, and was led. The Spirit never departed from Jesus. Do you notice that? It never said at any time in this experience, does the Spirit ever leave him? No, it does not. In the same way, the Spirit that you and I received when we were baptized, it never departs from us. And in the same way, we find ourselves being tempted. When we find ourselves being tempted, we must also lay hold of the same weapon he used consistently. And that means growing in familiarity with the Word of God, which is the sword. The Spirit of God that led Jesus is the same Spirit that led the children of Israel. In the daytime, it was a pillar of cloud. In the evening, it was a pillar of flame, leading them, guiding them, protecting them. The same Spirit is ours as well, to assist us on the way. And so this is so important for us to take advantage of as we experience these early days, as we find ourselves hungering and thirsting for life, but the true life. Because if we succumb to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, these threefold concupiscences of tempting us to pleasure, to power, to pride of life, whenever we give way to these things, it's fleeting at best. It satisfies us for a moment and it's done. Because everything of this world is passing away. Jesus is ordering us in the way that he shows us how to persevere, how to truly grow and remain grounded in your identity and my identity as the son and the daughter of Almighty God. As we embrace the practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, mind you, those three pillars of the season of Lent are the three antidotes to each one of the temptations. Each one of them, prayer, will ground us in our confidence and our need for God. It keeps us grounded in humility. Fasting helps us to take control, to restrain our nature that tends to be disordered towards certain things. If it's food, if it's drink, if it's pleasures of the flesh, whatever it might be. When we fast, that will necessarily bring us to our knees, asking God to be that strength that we need. And almsgiving helps us to resist the temptation of becoming lovers of money or other possessions of the world. Here today, gone tomorrow. So we take courage today, and hopefully we are encouraged by the way in which Jesus shows us and models for us what it looks like to be the child of God, what it looks like to be humble, faithful, and obedient to the Father who has declared to you and me, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. This is the affirmation of God, our Father. If you and I are sons and daughters of God, which we are, then let us place our trust in him. God love you.